This is an important night. This is where the rubber meets the road as far as the book of James is concerned. And we have a lot I want to cover with you. I want you to get this tonight. So let's just review real quick. Okay, I've got a graphic to help us review. All right. So we have covered a bunch of stuff in the last 5 weeks. First thing we've covered is, or James has covered with us, is this idea of the internal struggles that you and I have inside our hearts. Things like temptation or the source of sin, our lusts, our desires that we need to control. That's the temptations from within. We also talked about the external struggles, those things that we live out, whether it's our anger, our speech, speaking too quickly, not listening quick enough, not doing the word. Our external, the way we express our faith. James dealt with that. Last week we talked about the horizontal relationships, how our faith is expressed horizontally with people. Most of our problems deal with people, don't they? And James talked about that, and we talked about that, how to treat people right. Today we're going to talk about the vertical relationship. James is going to tackle the vertical relationship, our faith in God. And practically, is it real? The world is looking for realness, isn't it? The world wants to know, are your leather couches, are they real? Is that Ford Pinto, is that real, what you're driving there? Are those shoes, are those cons real? I need to know. Are you real? Are you authentic? The world wants to know, Christian. And we need to know, is our faith real? Do you know if your faith is real? Do you know what you believe is true? Do you know for a fact that you have eternal life? Are you convinced about this vertical relationship, this faith relationship that you have with God? Do you know it? Is it real? And how can you know it? James tackles this question tonight. How can we know it's real? And this is probably one of the most controversial sections of the New Testament that we're going to talk about tonight, that we're going to tackle tonight. Matter of fact, you've probably tangled with this section. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14 and on. If you've had people in your house that are trying to convince you that their religion is right and yours is wrong, I guarantee you, almost as I've studied world religions, almost every world religion besides Christianity believes that works are what gets you to heaven. That your good works, if they outweigh your bad works, that as long as you work hard enough, you can make it to heaven. And again, you probably had people in your house. Every cult believes this. Every cult believes this. And there are cults that claim that they believe the Bible. And they'll sit down in your house and they'll say, what do you believe? And you say, I believe that I'm saved by grace through faith alone. And they'll say, well, that's interesting. You know what? Let's turn to a verse that I really like in the book of James. Let me just show you this verse here. And here's what it says in my Bible. And they'll tell you, you know what? James says that it's that faith alone can't save you, that it's by works. Oh, no. My faith is shot. They got me. Oh, what do I do with that? Woe is the Christian faith. If I'd only known that it is by works, it says it. There it is, I see it. James chapter 2. Every cult uses it. Every one of them. And I want to tell you tonight, James no more contradicts Paul or the rest of the New Testament than anybody else ever would. That you're going to find that tonight the verses in James complement what Paul talks about, and the whole rest of the New Testament, if you stack up all the verses, Steel shared two tonight, you stack them all up on a scale that say it's by faith, it's by grace through faith alone, and that works will not save you. And the verses that explicitly say that, you stack them all up, put them on a scale, and cults will come in and they'll take this one verse in James out of context, not understanding the context of the verse, and put it over here and say, whoopsie, this one verse contradicts all this. Not only that, you can't even trust the Bible, because look at this clear contradiction in James chapter 2. Anybody ever had somebody tell you that? Ever been confronted with that? We live in a culture that believes that. There are a lot of people that believe that. And a lot of religions believe that. Matter of fact, I would say most religions believe that. That it's not by faith alone, it's by works. Works get you to heaven. And they will use these verses that we're going to talk about tonight to prove it to you and try to challenge your faith and show you that the Bible contradicts itself, and it does not. Tonight, after tonight, you should never fear having somebody open up to James and go, see what I see right here? You should never fear that. You should have an answer for them. I'm going to try to help you have an answer because it is so clear. This is an important argument. People try to pit Paul against James. They try to do it all the time. Paul says this, yeah, but James says just the opposite. Well, does he? We're going to see here if he does or not. This is important. Faith versus works. We know that the entirety of the New Testament says it's by faith alone. We know that's true. Here's what Martin Luther said. He's pretty strong about this. He said, the most damnable and pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man was the idea that somehow he could make himself good enough to deserve to live with an all-holy God. The most damnable and pernicious heresy is that man can be good enough to live with an all-holy God. That's a pretty strong statement from Martin Luther. What about James? Well, just let me give you a couple verses. Just a couple out of the... Literally, just read the New Testament. And verse after verse after verse, just read Romans. And you'll see that it's faith alone. We believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at this. Just in Galatians, a couple examples. Galatians 2:16. Know that man is not justified by observing the law. You're not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if it was by works, don't you think he would have changed that? This is just a sampling. You know, you've read the verses. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, not our works. Our faith in Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. He has to repeat it. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. By doing good works, you will never be justified. It doesn't get any clearer than that, unless you go to Romans. And Paul says this, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith, listen, apart from observing the law. Paul says this by faith, apart from the law. Is it Paul? Is Paul right or is James right? Is this a battle of the apostles? You know, you talk about that tonight. And I've got a little graph that I put together for you, a little chart. If you have your handout, you need to fill this out. This will help you just to understand something real quick here. Who is right? Well, they're both right. James says it's not by faith alone, it's by works. And Paul says it's not by works, it's by faith alone. And we'll go through these verses in a minute, but I just want to lay something out ahead of time for you that'll help you. Who is right, Paul or James? Understand this. This is the key to understanding this passage that James shares with us, this letter that James shares with us. Paul was speaking to who? In most of his New Testament writings, it was early in the church. Paul was speaking to Jews, mainly, who believed what? Who were confused by what? Do I have to obey the law and believe in Jesus? Is it Jesus and the law of Moses, which one? Do I still need to get circumcised? You read the New Testament, you see the tension, don't you? That's who he was preaching to. Paul was writing to these guys. And then there were people called Judaizers we see in the New Testament. Paul deals deftly with them in Galatians, doesn't he? I mean, he says, listen, if you believe. I mean, he gets really harsh with these guys. And he's dealing with people, listen, who believe that it's Jesus plus something. That's his audience. There's Jews that are saying to Paul, listen, and they're telling all these other people, yeah, it's Jesus, but it's circumcision. You add circumcision to it. And then you'll it's Jesus plus observing the law. Paul was addressing them. Okay, he's talking to that audience. So they're coming against him saying it's Jesus plus. So Paul talks to that audience. James, on the other hand, he's got his back to Paul. Just picture that. Paul's over here addressing the audience that says it's Jesus plus. James, on the other hand, much later, is writing to a group of Christians who are saying, you know, works don't have anything to do with our faith. It's just believe and then go live your life the way you want to. That's who he was talking to. People that were saying, works have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter if we do anything for Jesus after we believe. Easy believism. And so James was addressing these people, defending the same faith. Paul defending the same faith that James was. They wouldn't disagree with each other. It was just a different audience, a different question. And James was saying, well, of course your life is going to have to, there's going to have to be evidence in your life. Your life has to show it. Paul says you have to have faith and you can't add anything to it. That's who he was talking to. James and him are back to back fighting the same battle. Let's just look at some comparisons real quick before we get into this. Paul versus James. Here's the key verses that we can key off of as far as this Paul or James. Here's the two verses. Galatians 2:16 would be one that we could use on Paul's side. There's hundreds of others. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. James 2:24 says this, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. They're fighting the same battle back to back. One facing this way, one facing this way, two different audiences. I'm going to fly through these. I want you to keep them. The problem that they were facing, again, Paul was facing this problem, James was facing this problem. Paul was facing the problem of legalism. James was addressing the problem of laxity in the Christian church. Come on, guys. Show your faith. Do something about it. Paul was saying, listen, it isn't works. It's not legalism. It's faith alone. Definition of works for Paul in his mind, when he was defining works, he was talking about the law of Moses. James, on the other hand, was talking about a Christian lifestyle. That's the works James was talking about. Okay? The effect, Paul was trying to draw out the effect of having a knowledge of your faith, a true knowledge that your faith is based on Christ alone, not by your good works. James, on the other hand, was trying to help people say, listen, if you have faith, it'll show. It'll show up in your life. The definition of justification that Paul was going from was this. You guys have been acquitted because of Jesus Christ. He took care of it. It's all done. James, on the other hand, was saying, you've been vindicated, therefore live your life in such a way that it honors God. Paul would not disagree with that. James would not disagree with Paul. The focus. Paul was focusing on the root of salvation. James was focusing on the fruit of salvation. Two different audiences. Two different focal points. Paul's intention was to show the way of justification. How you get justified. James was trying to show the life of the justified. Don't you understand that if you are justified, you should live this way? See the difference? The purpose. Paul's purpose was to help people know they're a Christian. This is how you know. It's through faith alone, not through your works. James, on the other hand, was trying to help people understand how to show they're a Christian. It should be evident in your life. The expression, for Paul, it was an internal, unseen expression of faith. We can't see that. We don't know what happens in your heart. And Paul was describing that to them. James, on the other hand, what he was talking about is the part that we can see. The external, that which we can see in our faith. And I just summarize this. If this is all you remember when that person comes to your door, sits down and opens up to James and says, you say it's by faith alone, but what about James? Remember this phrase. Our faith is to know. Our works are to show. Faith to know, works to show. Our faith is what gets us in. Our faith in Christ is the only thing we need. Faith alone. And that then we can know. Like it says in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can know you have eternal life. How do you know? It's through grace. By grace, through faith alone. After that, where do our works play in? What's James talking about? He's talking about because we have faith, it'll show. Faith to know, works to show. Okay? Say it with me right now. Ready? Faith to know, works to show. It's the same battle, just facing different directions. You guys track it with me? Matthew Henry said this, "Our soul is justified before God by our faith. Our actions are justified before men by works." It's both. Our soul is justified completely by faith alone, but before men, we're justified by our works. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He says this, "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience." The Bible doesn't recognize it. If you have a faith that doesn't lead to obedience, the Bible does not speak of it. It does not recognize it. Nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin. They're not independent of each other. Paul or James, which is it? Here's another verse. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. This is the quintessential, in my opinion, as far as this idea of faith versus works, because it talks about both. And it puts them in the proper perspective and the proper place. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You ought to memorize this verse. It says, "For it is by grace you've been saved." Through what? Through faith, not through works. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves. Don't tell me you have to do something. It's a gift of God, not by works. Why? So that no one will boast. No one's going to stand before God and boast about, "You got to let me in because look, I kept all these rules and I did this and I paid my tithe and I did that and I didn't drink this and I did that." No one's going to boast before God. Verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship." Look how the works and faith are combined. He says, you don't get saved by works, you get saved by faith. Then he goes on to say this, "But we are God's workmanship, created for what? In Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Good works are part of the package. It doesn't save us. See, what comes first is salvation through faith by grace, not by works. He makes it clear. He chops it up and says, it's not by works. It's by faith. And when he's done with that, he goes, "But God created us for good works." Good works always come after. Faith precipitates good works. And we're going to see that. James is going to make that very clear. Don't let anybody confuse you and say, "No, James says it's only by good works." That's not what he's saying. Faith always comes first. Always comes first. When James writes, he always talks about faith first and then works, just like we read here in Ephesians. Faith first. Faith to know, works to show. Okay? I thought about just making that just a whole sermon in and of itself, and I could have done that, but we're not going to. We've got to move on quickly here. Five ways to know your faith is real, that you have real faith. How can you know it's real? Real faith is more than what you say, according to James. We'll start in chapter 2, verse 14. James says this. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" Understand this. It's saying, what good is it if a man claims to have faith? It didn't say if a man has faith. It said, what good is it if a man claims to have faith? You claim to have faith. What good is that? That's what James is saying. It didn't say the man has faith. He claims to have faith, but and not only that, he doesn't have any deeds to back it up. Can such faith save him or vindicate him or prove his faith? It's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? A man claims, "I have faith." "Where are your good deeds?" "Well, I don't have any. But I have faith." James says, can such faith save you? Here's what I would say, is that talk is cheap. You can say whatever you want. I can say I'm a chicken McNugget. Who cares? I can say whatever. I can say I'm the king of the world. Bow down to me. Bring me something cool and refreshing. I'm the king. I can say whatever I want. It doesn't make it true. I have great faith. Well, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You can say what you want, and a lot of people are saying a lot of things. George Gallup did a poll back in 1992, polled over 50 million Americans.
And actually, in his poll, he found out from the 50 million Americans that claim to be born-again Christians, a full one-third of them, of the born-again Christians, claim that they believe a person could get to heaven by good works, apart from embracing Jesus Christ. A full one-third of the born-again Christians polled by George Gallup believe that you could get to heaven by not embracing Jesus and just being good enough. Talk is cheap. I believe in Jesus. I'm a born-again Christian. That's cheap. James is going to get honest here. He's fighting the same battle. He's fighting the people who are saying, listen, I just say I have faith and that's good enough. I don't have to do anything. James is saying, wait a minute. Talk is cheap. Matter of fact, there's a pretty strong verse in Matthew chapter 7 that says this. Jesus talking. When he talks, you should listen. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You can claim Jesus all you want. You can claim to be born again Christian. You can say whatever you want. You can have as many fish stickers on the back of your car as you want. You can wear as many dangly cross necklaces as you want. You can have pictures of Jesus in your house if you want. It doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. There's a lot of people that claim Christ and I don't know their hearts, but I can look at their lives and go, wow, that, if they're a Christian, my goodness. That's amazing. Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine, many years ago, claimed to be a born-again Christian, claimed to have a born-again experience, but he continued to publish, still does, Hustler magazine, said he was going to hustle for God. That's what he told the press. Hustle for God. 8 years later, his daughter became a Christian and sued him. She started an organization called Christians Against Pornography. Her dad, Larry Flint, who claimed to be a born-again Christian, disowned his daughter. Now, he may be a Christian. I don't know his heart, but I want to tell you something. The Bible, James would say, you know what? Talk is cheap. You claim it. That's fine. Anybody can say what they want. Wouldn't we agree? People say crazy things. Just saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. You're a sports star and you get on your knee and it doesn't make you a Christian. I'm not saying those guys aren't Christians, but that doesn't make you a Christian, does it? Now, there's sincere sports stars and there's sincere movie stars and that are Christians, I'm sure. But we can't get the cart before the horse. It doesn't have to do with our works, what we do. It has to do with faith, and our works will show that. Here's the second way to know our faith is real. James would say this, real faith, first of all, is more than what we say. Second, it's more than what we feel, more than an emotion. James says this, verse 15, suppose a brother or a sister, a Christian, brother or a sister, is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, listen, he mentions faith first every time. You'll just pick it up, okay? In the same way, faith, mentions it first, by itself, if it is not accompanied with action, is dead. Faith always comes first. And then our action, faith to know, our works then show. That's what James is saying here. You see somebody in need, and you don't do anything about it, James would say, that's a dead faith. You claim to have faith, then let me see some deeds, especially when you got a situation, you got somebody that needs food right here, and you say, go, I wish you well, warm, and keep warm and well fed. But you don't do anything to help them? James would say, what kind of faith is that? James would say, that's a dead faith. You claim to have faith and it's not accompanied by action? Then I wonder if it's even a live faith. What kind of faith is that? James says, I don't recognize that kind of faith. That faith doesn't make sense to me. There's a need, you should do something about it. Somebody slams their fingers in the door, you just go, oh, wow, that must have really hurt. See ya. Listen, real faith is more than emotion, getting all psyched up. Faith takes action. It says in 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? John says, dear children, let's not love with words and tongue, but with actions and truth. Dear children, dear Christians, let's not just use words. And words are cheap. Words are cheap. And it's not just getting all emotional. Oh, I really want to help somebody. I really love the Savior. I really love Jesus. I love Him. Man, do I love Him. Yeah, you got somebody that's in need and you just kind of walk right by it. Go buy your gear. When there's people starving, there's people that have needs, there's people all around you and you're off doing your thing. And all you can think about is you. James would go, I don't recognize that kind of, I don't understand that. Can that be, James, you need to ask yourself that question. Do I have real faith? That's what we're trying to answer tonight. If you go home tonight, say, Bill, man, I really had a hard time sleeping. I was wondering if I had real faith, and I say amen. You better figure it out. You better know. I don't have any trouble sleeping. I hope you don't either, because I know I have real faith. I know it. I know I do. I hope you can sleep well. Listen, a while back, years ago, I've told this story before, but I love it. Faith in action. My family and I, we go back to Iowa every year. You know, all of you should go back to Iowa at least once in a lifetime. It's kind of like Mecca. You got to go once in a lifetime back to Iowa. And we go back every year. I got to cross Nebraska. We got to cross Wyoming and Nebraska and get into Iowa. And about, 11 years ago, we had an old purple van. I think Becky Porter might have that van right now. I'm not sure if she has it anymore. But that was the van. And we took that all the way across Nebraska. And it started overheating on us. We got to Iowa. But on the way back from Nebraska, it was in the summertime. And it was really, really hot. And it started overheating. We pulled into a gas station. The smoke was just coming out from underneath the hood. And at this point, we got little babies in the car, and we're in the middle of Nebraska, in Kearney, Nebraska. It was right halfway between Colorado and Iowa. And it wasn't good. And I'm thinking, oh man, it was about 5 o'clock, so we kind of chugged off the off-ramp and found a place that was just closing down, a place that hopefully we could fix it, and they looked at it, and they were saying, you know, we need to replace the heads, and it was bad, and the radiator, they were just not giving us good news. I just think they wanted to go home. They're hoping we just go, just take it. You know, they're hoping we do something like that. Well, we decided we had to stay because we couldn't even drive it. So we went to a hotel room, and I was, you know, again, I'm responsible for my wife and my kids and my babies, and it's like, ugh, what am I going to do here? And so I knew that night, it was that night, I looked at my watch and I said, our small group is meeting right now back in Colorado. So, and one of our small group guys named Hector was and is a tremendous mechanic. That's what he does. He does transmissions. And he's the one that he can fix anything. So I knew they'd be meeting, so I called him up. I said, hey guys, we're in a hotel room. Just want to know if you could pray for us. You know, and Hector, here's what they told me about the car. Can you give me any advice? What would you suggest? We're stuck in this hotel room, and he goes, just get up really early. Get why it's cool because it's, you know, try to beat the heat. Just try to get as far as you can. Then, you know, he says, it's probably your radiator cap or you know, whatever, thermostat. And he gave me some advice. I went, okay, thanks. So we went to bed. I set the alarm for like 4 in the morning, 3:34, because we're just going to get up and go. Try to beat, you know, get 6 hours under our belt before the sun even really gets hot. And so 4 o'clock comes, and I'm packing stuff. I'm walking out to the car with really quiet, just really quiet in this parking lot. And I'm getting ready to stick stuff in my car. And I put my suitcase down, and I hear, hey. And I go, it's 4 a.m. Did I hear that? So I start going back in my car, and I go, what are you doing? And I turn around. And I look, and it's Hector and another guy named Tim. From my small group, Tim Carr and Hector. And they come out, and they're kind of rubbing their eyes, and they open their door of their van, and Mountain Dew cans just spill out, you know. They had gotten in their car that night. tractor, packed all his tools, and they drove all night to Kearney, Nebraska from Fort Collins, Colorado. I didn't tell him what hotel I was in. There was no reason to tell him that. They didn't know what hotel I was in. They drove around the parking lot of every hotel in Kearney, Nebraska, looking for my van. When they found my van, they parked next to it and tried to sleep for an hour or so. That is faith in action. That is someone who doesn't say, oh, be warm and well fed. I wouldn't have done that, I don't think. Every time I think of that, it makes me cry. Because those guys love me. And they did something about their faith. And Hector, all the way home, I saw him in my rearview mirror. He was waiting for me to break down. He was hoping I'd break down, man, because he was going to fix it. It broke down, he jumped down, and he fixed it. Got us all the way home. What good is it if you claim to be a Christian, but you don't have any deeds? What kind of faith is that? It's dead, according to James. Here's the third way we can know our faith is real. First, you understand real faith is more than what you say. It's more than what you feel. Compassion for people, you got to do something. Third thing, real faith is more than what you think. What's going on in your mind? James continues, but some of you will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. It's not just thinking. It's not just having a nice thought about faith. James says it's got to be action. James would have been a good Missourian. Who knows the state motto for Missouri? The show me state. James would have been a good Missourian. Show me. Show me what you got. You got faith? Show it to me. Come on. I got faith, but I'm going to show it to you. You're just going to say you have faith? I'm going to show you my faith. I'm going to know I have faith because I show it. It's not just about what's in your mind. Faith must be visible. Your faith should be visible. I say prove it. James says prove it. You got faith? Prove it. Let me see something. Your faith shouldn't be like calories. It shouldn't be like calories. You know they're there, but you can't see them. Okay? And they have their faith. You say, my faith's kind of like calories. It's there. It has its effect. You just can't see it. James would say, no, no. Your faith needs to be like grabbing onto a 220 power line. And it is there. I know it's there. I see it. I have no doubt about that, man. I touched a... One time I reached down and touched a spark plug in a lawnmower. Anybody ever do that while it's running? Man, I knew that electricity was there. I had no doubt. And I've never done it again. Because I know it was there. Don't just say, oh, my faith, it's just kind of a private. I'm kind of a private person. James says, show it to me. Christian, come on. Let's see it. Somebody gets around you, you should be like, they grab a 220 and go, man, what's that guy got? What's that girl? I need what she's got. They got something I don't got. I need it. Show your faith. Show it. You say, how do I do that? I have this illustration. Do you believe, how many of you believe that it's a good idea to exercise 3 times a week for at least 20 minutes? Get a little aerobic. Raise your hand way up there, okay? Way up, raise your hand. Okay, leave it up. Put it down if you do that at least 3 times a week consistently. You exercise at least 3 times aerobically every single week. It's in your, yeah, they're slowly going down. I did 10 years ago. I guess I don't know if I should keep it up. I'm pretty sure I've exercised. I'm not positive. I believe in exercise. Prove it to me. I don't need lip service. It doesn't do you any good. It's all in your head then. Exercise is so good. If I just think about it, I feel better. Prove it to me. You believe in exercise, and I want to see you on the treadmill. I want to see you out running. I want to see you doing aerobics. Then I go, oh, that person believes it. Otherwise, it's head knowledge, and it does you no good, does it? James says, listen, don't let your faith just be head knowledge. Do something about it. Otherwise, it does you no good. It's dead. Martin Luther said this. Good quote. He says, Paul does not say, you got to listen carefully on this. Paul does not say that faith is without its characteristic works. but that it justifies without the works of the law. That's what Paul's saying. Therefore, justification does not require the works of the law, but it does require a living faith which performs its works. You see what Martin Luther was saying? Saying the same thing James was saying, same thing Paul would say. Our faith is to know we have salvation. Our works show we have salvation. You guys getting it? You guys getting it? I want you to get this. You need to get this. Somebody's going to knock on your door next week and you need to have this. Here's a fourth reason, or fourth way you can know your faith is real. Real faith is more than what you believe. Whoa. More faith is more than... Wait a minute, Bill. That might not be the right blank right there. Maybe you made a mistake. Your real faith is more than what you believe. Look what James says. He says, you believe that there's one God. Good for you, he says. Even the demons believe that. And they bristle. They shudder. They're terrified. You believe there's one God? Good. In other words, he's saying, who cares? Everybody believes. It says in the Bible that only fools don't believe. Only a fool says in his heart there's no God. Only fools believe there's no God. Everybody else believes, including the demons. Oh yes, the demons believe in Jesus. Oh yes, the demons, you see, they understand this book way more than you and I do. Oh yes, Satan is a theologian that knows this book inside and out. And they believe. And they shudder. Oh, but I believe. I believe. I got a fish on my car. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I went to a church that talked about Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Matter of fact, my church had the name Jesus in it. You know, okay, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if our church had The Rock, Church of Jesus, then that's great. That doesn't mean the people who go here believe in it or believe in Him, does it? James says everyone believes in God, including the demons. And that's what James, why do you think he put that verse in there? He says, you believe in God? Good. That's great. So do the demons. Oh, I believe in Jesus, though. It's right there. I mean, look at it. I believe in it. Here's where I go and look at it. What it says. I believe in it. Well, it's more than belief. It's got to be more than belief because Satan's not going to heaven. Listen, I believe in Hitler. I'm not a Nazi. Well, what is it? What's the difference? Well, there is a difference. Understand this, that some people miss heaven by 18 inches. The distance from their head to their heart. Oh, they know it, but they don't believe it. They say they believe it, but really what they're saying is, I'm assenting to fact that I believe that Jesus was a real person. I believe that Jesus is a good guy and believe that Jesus is a Savior. But they've not embraced it. They haven't fully embraced it. They're not trusting in Christ. True believing, you see, is to trust or to cling to or rely on. Are you trusting? Are you relying on Him? You say you're a Christian. How do you know? James would say this, do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you go to church? Do you enjoy being around other believers? Well, Bill, you said those things don't get you into heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. They don't get you into heaven. You say you're a believer. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you go to church? Do you give anything to God? Your time, your money? Do you do anything that shows you're a Christian? If not, James would say you're a phony. Plain and simple. Because it's more than just believing in Jesus. Don't tell me you believe, but you know, I really don't read the Bible. I don't hang around Christians. I don't even like hanging around Christians. No, I never give to God. That's all hypocritical. And no, you know, I don't pray. James would say you're a phony. And you better stay awake tonight and figure it out. Because if there's no evidence in your life, then what on earth, how can we know? How can you know if there's nothing that shows it? James is just saying, boy, True believing is trusting, clinging to, relying on, commit to completely. And That's what you have when you have faith. And when you have that faith, works will naturally follow. 1 John says, listen, don't tell me that someone's a Christian if they hate their brothers. Can't happen. We can look at a person's life and we can make a judgment, a right judgment. The Bible says, stop making wrong judgments and make right judgments. There's a right judgment. And a right judgment is to look at their life and go, wow, they don't do anything for God. There's nothing in their life that would make me think they're a Christian. I've known them pretty good for 10 years. Then you kind of go, well, maybe I ought to try to win them to Christ. But they believe in Jesus. Well, do they? The demons believe. They're not going to heaven. Somebody can believe, and if their life is not looking like it at all, then maybe they're just believing like the demons do. And I think there's whole sects of people that are going to end up in hell because they're following people who just are giving lip service to their belief. And they're assenting to facts rather than clinging to, relying on, trusting in Christ for their salvation by grace through faith. The fifth thing James says, and he uses two illustrations to help make his point, is this. Real faith is something you do. Two illustrations. Talking about how faith is active. Faith is never passive. Faith is always active, James says. He's going to use these two illustrations. He's going to talk about Abraham. He's going to talk about a woman named Rahab. They're so different. It's so cool that James uses both these illustrations to make his point that our faith should be shown in our works. Works don't save us, James wouldn't say. He'd say our works show that we believed. He uses two illustrations here. Abraham and Rahab. Understand, there's a bunch of differences between these two people. Understand, one's a man, one's a woman. One's a Jew, one's a Gentile. One's a patriarch, one's a prostitute. One is noble, the other one is naughty. One is somebody, the other is nobody. And James uses these both to make this illustration of our faith should be shown in our actions. And that's what they had in common. They had a common faith. Here's what James says about Abraham in Genesis 22. He's talking about the story in Genesis. You know it. James says this, you foolish man. What foolish man? Someone says, I believe in God, but has no action, no deeds. You're foolish, James says. You foolish man. You claim Christ, that there's no evidence for it in your life whatsoever. You foolish man. Let me give you a couple of illustrations, James says. You foolish man, you vain, empty-headed man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Do you want evidence? Do I have to prove it to you? He said, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? And you see that his faith first, his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith first, was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Understand that Abraham's works did not save him. James never said that. James says, faith first. It was Abraham's faith 40 years earlier when he was declared righteous by God. Not here. 40 years earlier, God said, you're righteous by faith, Abraham. That's when he got righteous. That's when he was saved. And now James is saying, see, now there's actions to back up the faith. That's the point of this whole verse. It's not his works, and I think it's even funny that people say, look, it's good works that get you to heaven. James says that. Look at it. It says Abraham's good works. Good works? He was going to kill his son? That's not even a good work. It's almost like James picked people that were doing stupid things, bad things, to make the point. It's not about good works. He already had faith. But it's works that show our faith. He was going to murder his child. That's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. It's not a good work. Don't let somebody fool you to think, see, good works. Bible says, that's not even a good work. Abraham was already righteous in Genesis 15, 40 years earlier. Look at, we read about it again. In Romans, Paul talks about the same passage. He says this, what then shall we say that Abraham? What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, if that's true, Paul says, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? It says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul talks about the same passage. He said, listen, it is faith that justifies, not his deeds. He says if Abraham was justified by his deeds, then he could boast, but not before God. No boasting. Abraham's not going to boast. Here's the second example. Rahab, the prostitute. You can read about it in Joshua 2. James gives another illustration to you foolish people who think that I can claim to be a Christian yet have no deeds. He says this, you see that a person is justified or vindicated by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith first, without works is dead. Listen, he didn't say works without faith is dead, did he? You'll never read that in the Bible. You'll never read works without faith is dead. Always the other way around. Faith to know, works to show. That's how they work together. Listen, our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. Let me just share this illustration with you. You probably heard this one, but I found some pictures I think are helpful. A guy named Charles Blondin in 1860 was the first one to string a rope. I can't even believe somebody wanted to do this. String a rope across Niagara Falls and walk across it on a tightrope. The guy was really good. He did it. He amazed. Crowds gathered. People were amazed. And he went back and forth about 10 times. And the crowd was going crazy. And then he got the crowd going, he put on a blindfold. And he did it again, back and forth. And then he did some other things. He put a guy on his back. You can see a picture of him here. Putting a guy on his back. And went back and forth. He took wheelbarrows full of dirt, back and forth, no kidding, back and forth over this line across Niagara Falls. Historians tell us that at one point he dumped the dirt out in front of the crowd and said, how many of you think I could put a man in this wheelbarrow and take it across? And they all said, oh, we do, you could do it, you're the best. He said, who wants to volunteer? And people literally ran because they're afraid people would grab them and put them in the wheelbarrow. But they were all going, yeah, you can do it. See, that's lip service. That's talk is cheap. That's I believe in Jesus, but have no works to back it up. You know, I love this illustration. I look at this picture of this guy on this back. This is a beautiful, I want you to lock into that picture of a guy on the back of Charles Blondin going over the Niagara Falls. Now listen. You could say you believe in Jesus. You could say, listen, it's in the name of my church. Listen, I love the Savior. You could say whatever you want. You could say that we believe in Jehovah. There's people who come to your door and say, we believe in Jehovah, and it's all about good works. Most other religions other than Christianity, most other religions will say it's good works, not just faith in Christ. And it's like this guy that's clinging to Charles Blondin. You know, there could be a whole group of people. Imagine a whole group of people on the other side of where he started, on this side of the Niagara Falls, and he's carrying this guy across. And there's a group of people over here going, man, this Charles Blondin, he's the greatest. I love this guy. He's the best. He's the tightrope savior. I can trust this guy. I can trust him. Matter of fact, I'm gonna start a little club here. I'm going to get some people together. We're going to meet on Sundays. We're going to call it the Charles Blondin. We're going to have Charles Blondin right in our name. Right there on the wall. There it is. See, we trusted Charles Blondin. We believe in Charles Blondin. He's the guy. If anybody can get us there, he can. We trust in him. Matter of fact, we're going to show you our trust. And somebody might come and say, well, you say you trust him? You believe in him? Yeah, we believe in him. Really? Well, are you trusting him? Well, we believe in him. Yeah, we see it's right here on the building. And we go, well, that's great, but that doesn't mean really anything. Well, yeah, it does. Look, we're going to go prove it. We're going to go work for Charles Blondin. We're going to sell Charles Blondin paraphernalia. Okay, we're going to have yo-yos with his name on it. We're going to do things for him. We're going to help people right here at the Charles Blondin building. As people walk by, we're going to give them water bottles. We're going to help them to show our faith. And then they say this, you know, we believe that We have to do something about this. It's not just belief. You got to do something. So they grab their poles and they start walking across because they believe in Charles Blondin. And you know what? They're going to fall and their destruction is sure. Not because they didn't believe in Charles Blondin. It's because they didn't trust in him. You know who's trusting? Can you put the picture back up there? You know who's trusting in Charles Blondin? The guy that is clinging on with all his might and saying, I'm not going to let go. You can go sell whatever you want. You can have his name on a building, whatever you want, but I'm not letting go, man. I'm never going to let go of this because he's my only hope. There's nothing I can do. I know I can't get across. Those guys that say they can get across on their own, I'm watching them fall over one after another. With Charles Blondin. Charles Blondin on their lips. They believed in Charles Blondin. They never clung to him. And there is a huge difference. This man's work shows his faith. He is clinging to Christ. You and I, we need to cling. That's the work of God, is to believe, to cling to rely upon. Not just to have a sticker on our car, not just to belong to a church, not just to do good things, thinking those good things are going to get us to heaven. Those good things will no more get us to heaven than us trying to get across the Niagara Falls, claiming, I believe in Charles Blondin the whole way. Our faith stands alone. Our works show that we have faith. And that's all James is saying. So next time somebody sits at your house and says, see, the Bible contradicts itself. It's not by faith alone, it's by works. You say, you know what? My faith allows me to know I'm going to heaven. My works are important because they show what I believe. And that's exactly what James is saying. Last point here. It might be time for an examination. Some of you might be not feeling too good right now. That's okay. Don't ignore that feeling. God may want to have a word with you. Listen, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. It's a good thing to do. Is there any evidence in your life? James would say, put up or shut up. Quit talking about it. Do something about your faith. Then you can not only know, you can show, and you can sleep well. Let's pray. God, we thank you for tonight. And we understand, God, I think more now than we have before we came in here, that our faith is what gets us into heaven. Our faith is what justifies us, acquits us. The way of justification is by grace through faith. Yet, God, we know that the works show are the fruit of salvation. Just like James told us, it's always faith first. Lord, as people are here praying, I pray they would ask these questions to themselves. Would they ask this question, am I really a Christian after all? Am I a Christian? That they would examine themselves. It's a healthy thing to do once in a while. Am I a Christian? What changes in my life can I point to? Is my life different than all the unbelievers around me? Do they even know I'm a Christian? Is there any difference whatsoever? Is there evidence in my life that would convict me of being a Christian if I was put on trial? God, I pray that those who are having trouble right now answering those questions, I pray that they would realize that it is faith that justifies them. Maybe they're not a Christian. Maybe they need to receive you tonight. Maybe they need to accept you into their heart right now. I pray they would. I pray they'd humble themselves and say, Jesus, I need you in my heart right now. I need to reach out in faith and receive the grace, the free gift that you offer. I want to take that the best way I know how right now and receive that free gift of eternal life because you paid for it. I want to cling to you like that guy is clinging to Charles Blondin going over the Niagara Falls. I'm going to cling and never let go. I'm going to do that tonight, God. I'm going to trust you and not my stupid good works. But oh God, once I cling to you, then you say you have good works prepared in advance for me to do. And oh, the glory of a Christian who's working hard for you, God, not to get to heaven, but to show that he loves you Help us to be that kind of a Christian. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you guys stand up for one last song?